Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the Old Testament, God seems harsh. In the New Testament, He is seen as a God of love. Some wonder if a kinder, gentler God emerged after Jesus came. Today, why God has actually never changed in His attributes and purposes. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Get set for mystery number 6 as we now hear about the unchanging God.
My topic today is the unchanging God. The unchanging God. I am the Lord, I change not, God said through the voice of Malachi, the prophet. When we study God, we are talking about the most lofty, deep subject imaginable. Spurgeon said that we cannot plumb its depths, our eagle eyes cannot see its heights. We are awestruck in the presence of God. The Huffington Post said that there are some words that are overused. They're used for all kinds of things and they become common. If I remember correctly, the one that they said was most overused and most common was the word awesome. Everything is awesome. I suggest that we keep the word awesome for God and we leave it there. The hamburger that you had at Five Guys might be good. It might even be great, but it's not awesome. The Chicago Cubs have many good players. They may even have some great players, but they're not awesome, and they proved that over a period of more than 100 years. Let's reserve the word awesome for God. He is awesome. Praise be to His name. You know, the reason I'm preaching this series on the mysteries of God is so that a number of reasons. First, that we might be appropriately humbled and worship God with more enthusiasm and more joy and more understanding. The other reason is that we might seek Him, and the way in which we seek Him is through the Scriptures. I've decided that in the next 6 weeks I'm going to reread the entire New Testament. So I've begun this week on the book of Matthew. That's the way in which we're constantly being washed by the Word, challenged by the Word. Beyond the sacred page, I see the God. So I hope that you're involved in the Scriptures and in constant reading. And then something else, and that is that we want to indeed understand His promises so that we can trust Him better. J.I. Packer, in his book on knowing God, tells the story of a theologian who visualized things this way. As we think of Christianity, he says that there is a path along which people are walking. The people are weary, they are tired, they have various options. But above the path, there are people sitting in a hotel balcony, and they're able to communicate with those who walk beneath them, but the folks in the balcony, and today this is an illustration, all those of you who are in our balcony just want you to know that you are eminently welcome. But the point is that these people who are sitting up there, they're having theoretical discussions. You know, is it possible for God to exist in three persons? And how is one God in three persons? And we talked about that in one of these messages. And did God die on the cross? It's all theoretical. But for the people who are walking along the journey, these things aren't theoretical. They are very, very practical, because what they're wondering is anybody going to guide us along the road of life? And then when they get to the end, will anyone be there for me? That's the question. So I want us to know that even though we are discussing this theologically and somewhat academically, at the end of the day, join me on a journey, because we're on a journey. Some of you have great heartaches. Some of you have great worries. Many of you are going through financial needs, and you're in the midst of health issues and family issues, and they are so overwhelming. Join us today. We're on the journey, and we intend that these academic comments that are made at the beginning of the service really come down ultimately to how is it on the trail of life. Well, today it is the immutability of God. That means that God is unchangeable. I am the Lord, I change not. I'm going to deal with an issue, though, that most textbooks don't deal with. I read a couple of essays on the immutability of God, and none of them touched really on what I'm going to speak about. Because when you think about the unchangeability of God, don't you ask yourself a question like this? Why the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Old Testament, you know, you got stoned to death for heresy, for sexual sins, for working on the Sabbath. New Testament, no such penalties. It's all grace. Come. You're struggling? Well, everybody's struggling. Come. You're welcome. Theologians, some have actually said, look, there are two gods. There's the God of the Old Testament, God of law and judgment. There's the God of the New Testament, God of grace. Come, said Jesus. Is that really true? We're going to have to deal with that. And along with that comes the question, is it safer to sin today because we're under grace? We're not going to get stoned because we live an immoral life. And for those of you who are young people, when I speak about being stoned, I actually mean you have rocks thrown at you, just to clarify that for the younger generation. We don't have to worry about that. We can do whatever we like, and God's grace covers it. That's God's work. That's his job, is to be gracious. How do we reconcile that? Well, what we're going to do is we are going to reconcile that. And to begin with, before we turn to a very key passage, I want to talk with you about God and his unchangeability. First of all, his nature. His nature is unchanged. His essence. Can we use that word? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. Thou hast created the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, and like a garment thou shalt wrap them up, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. There is no shadow of turning with God. Of course his nature doesn't change. We change. We change in our minds, and we change in our body. God is unchangeable. Let me ask you a question. If God were to change, would he change for the better? Well, that's unthinkable because he's a perfect being. Would he change for the worse? Thankfully, that's unthinkable. Of course, he doesn't change from eternity to eternity. Thou art God. So God is unchangeable. All of his attributes are unchanged. Omniscience, knowing all things, all powerful. His wisdom that we sang about this morning, totally unchanged. He's never had to change any plans. He never decided to do one thing and then discovered it was wrong and have to redo things. One time I went to a hospital to visit someone, and he already had been discharged. And God never has those kinds of problems. He knows all things. God's nature remains unchanged, his attributes. Secondly, his truth doesn't change. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's unthinkable that somehow God's standards have changed. Well, what else has not changed? And that is his morality, his standards. They haven't changed. You know, some time ago, it was actually quite recent, I saw on the news that there was a young woman, I assume she was a Christian, I don't remember her name, don't know who she was, but she was arguing in favor of same-sex relationships, and she said this. She said, we don't have to go back to the Old Testament because, you know, the Old Testament told us that we couldn't eat crab meat, you know, and it had all those laws about what you could eat and what you can't, and we certainly don't do that anymore, so we can just take that Old Testament and we can just pitch it there and put it there, but it has no bearing on us today. Well, one of the things that she needed to know is that throughout history, for centuries, the Christian church has always divided the Old Testament into three categories. First of all, there is the civil laws. Those civil laws have to do with human relationships. You know, what should you do if a cow that belongs to your neighbor comes onto your pasture and so forth? All kinds of laws. Those don't apply to us today. And for reasons that will become clearer, we're in a new age with new laws. And so there are those civil laws. There are also ceremonial laws. Bring this sacrifice. If you commit this sin, bring that. All that, of course, disappeared, thankfully, with the coming of Jesus Christ, who abolished all of those things and became the fulfillment of all the sacrifices. But there is the moral law. The moral law. And I submit to you today that God has not changed his opinion about the moral law. As a matter of fact, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount actually deepens it. Before, if you committed adultery, that was one thing. And Jesus said even to look at a woman lustfully is to do that. Wow. Now suddenly we're confronted with our own heart and not just our actions. And if you hate your brother, you're basically a murderer. Think of that and think of the implications. And so the moral law is still intact, and virtually all of the commands of the Ten Commandments are repeated in different ways in the New Testament, except for the Sabbath day. That was a special category. But the point is that God has not changed his standard. Well, then why the difference in punishment? Well, God's administration has changed. Well, my friend, I hope that you continue to listen to Running to Win, especially the next time, as some of the issues I have raised will be clarified, and we will understand more clearly that there is not a distinction between the Old Testament. There are those who say that the God of the Old Testament was cruel. The God of the New Testament is tolerant and loving. No, God has not changed. Now, if you're challenged and blessed as a result of these messages, may I suggest that you support us? I know that there are many people out there who listen to Running to Win regularly, and you have never connected with us, either with your prayer support, your encouragement, or your gifts, even as God leads you. We'd like you to consider becoming an endurance partner. Endurance partners are those who regularly connect with us. They bless us with their gifts and their prayers. Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com and click on Endurance Partners. Or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Offerrtw.com, one possibility, or call us at 1-800-215-5001. I challenge you to become a part of the Running to Win family.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Unchanging God, another message on the mysteries of God. There's a difference between Old Testament regulations and the superseding New Testament commandments. Next time, we learn more about a whole new category of people known as the church. The mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.